Hi there, and welcome to another edition of the Romance Program. I'm Volunteer Jeannie Oates for Sun Sounds. I've got one story coming up. It's from True Romance Magazine called Help Me, I'm Killing Myself for Beauty. Here's the story. When I walked out onto the stage, the bright pink spotlight nearly blinded me. I wasn't very familiar with that particular club. I couldn't remember if the stage had a runway or not. The music was blaring and the smell of tobacco smoke was thick in the air. I'd done my routine 100 times before. I didn't even have to think. I started dancing and soon I was caught up in it, twisting, bending, and kicking for all the men seated around the stage. They could see everything. I didn't even wear a G-string, just a gold chain around my waist. I had a reputation as a very good exotic dancer. I made a truckload of money doing just one show a night, roughly 5 nights a week. I'd been doing it since I was 21. In a way, it was no different than any other job, except I just happened to be stark naked while I did it. The difference, and my boyfriend, Mark, was always warning me about it, was that I wouldn't be able to dance forever. He wanted me to retire when I turned 30. I always said, no way, the money's too good. I finished my routine that night, accepting tips tucked into the gold chain around my waist. Back in my dressing room, I stuffed the money in my brand new gaudy designer bag, just as I was pulling on an oversized t-shirt. The club manager walked in. Did you forget to knock? I asked sarcastically, starting to pull on a pair of jeans. I wondered if this small town jerk thought he was going to cop a feel or something. My boyfriend was always worried about that, too. The manager's name was Sid. He looked me over the way they all do. It didn't bother me, exactly. I knew self-defense, and I had defended myself before in places better and worse than this little strip bar in the middle of a tiny farming community. Supposedly, the locals hated the place, but it had been packed that night. I was headed for my next booking downstate, a 3-hour drive. It was a grueling pace that kept me on the road for more hours than I ever worked. Sid squinted his eyes as if he had a headache. You're looking kind of baggy in the butt, Julie. You'd better start doing some exercises or something. You're starting to look your age. My heart stopped. I was only 27. I turned from the mirror where I'd been fluffing my long blonde hair and feeling pretty damn confident, too, and glared at Sid. Thanks, I'll keep that in mind. Just thought you might like to know, Julie. We get a lot of girls in here each month. Some of them are right off the farm, as fresh as peaches. Firm. He made a squeezing motion with his hands. If you want to book amateurs, go right ahead, I snapped, hiding my sudden uncertainty. I've got more offers than I can accept. Should I put you down for next month or save myself the trip? Sid stopped smiling. I guess he thought I was going to wimp out and start crying or something. You girls, he sighed. You think you're something special just because you flash all you got on stage. Let me tell you something. Don't bother. Just give me my paycheck. I'm out of here. He had my paycheck. I knew he did. One word from me to some of the other dancers on the circuit, and he wouldn't be able to get a decent booking, fresh off the farm or from any place else, for 6 months. Give it up, I demanded through my teeth. I was shaking in my half-zipped jeans. I was 106 pounds, up against his 250 or more. If he wanted to, he could have flattened me right there. Do I need to call Mark? I asked, reaching for my cell phone in my tote bag. I called that my invoking the boyfriend defense. Mark bench presses 250, I poked Sid's beer belly through his plaid shirt. He's 190 pounds of pure muscle. He won't like hearing you tried to withhold my paycheck, even for a minute. Sid pulled my check, folded in half, from his shirt pocket. I took it, grabbed up my stuff, and stalked out of there like a queen. But I was screaming inside. I would never let a jerk like Sid see it through. Oh, see it, though. Yet, I could feel my confidence slipping. Luckily, there was no one in the crowded parking lot. I zipped my jeans and put on my shoes. Moments later, I was in my car on the cell phone complaining to Mark. Do you think I'm starting to sag? I cried, pulling out of the parking lot and careening away. Hey, Mark yelled into the phone. Slow down, Julie. I can hear how fast you're driving all the way from here. You don't need to kill yourself over one bum's opinion of your butt. He's just trying to bring you down, babe, and get away with paying you less. You know how I hate letting you work for scum like that. I slowed down to the speed limit. I didn't need another speeding ticket. My insurance was high enough as it was. Do you? I asked again. Do I what? Want you here with me? You know I do. You can quit dancing anytime. You know that. I've told you enough times. Have you found a job yet? I asked, feeling a sudden tingle of excitement and hope. There was a long silence. I knew it. He hadn't found a job, and my heart sank. Mark was never going to get a job so long as I was making such good money. I could never quit as long as he wasn't working. We had my car payment and his pickup truck payment. We had the mortgage and my health insurance, which wasn't cheap, plus utilities and all my business-related expenses like gas and motel rooms. Mark had the big screen television, his stereo system, and the riding mower, not to mention over 2 snowmobiles and the jet skis. We were in debt so deep, I was certain we'd never pay anything off. But if I started to lose bookings because my body didn't look 20 years old anymore, we were in big trouble. I pulled into the nearest motel and booked a room where I could sleep late the next day. It was 3 a.m. before I lugged my overnight bag into the room and locked the door. Alone again, I thought about getting old. I started to cry, and for a long while, I couldn't stop. Since I'd already called Mark, there wasn't anybody left to call for comfort or company. I didn't really have any friends. I knew girls on the circuit, sort of, but none of them well enough to cry over the phone to. I sure couldn't call my mother. She was convinced I was some kind of hooker, dancing naked as I did. My sisters were all jealous of me because of the flashy car I drove and my so-called freedom. They had houses and husbands and kids, and they were fat, both of them. I was slender and shapely, thanks to 2 boob jobs and some liposuction on my hips. The prettiest girl on the Midwest exotic dance circuit, my advertisements read. I had lots of curls and dimples and don't forget my 34 D's, pierced, of course. The customers loved the piercing, but I had no feeling left in my nipples. And when it came to sex, well, I would just as soon pass on that, thank you very much. I was fed up with sex and men. I loved Mark, sure, but sometimes I felt like he was just using me. But I had to be with somebody. After I got done with my crying jag, I fell asleep in my jeans. I woke early the next afternoon to the rapping of the motel maid. despite the Do Not Disturb sign on my door. "Go away," I yelled. "I'm paid till tomorrow." I got up and showered, tied my hair back, and went in search of pizza. I ate until I felt sick, threw it all up in the restaurant bathroom, then bought a six-pack and went back to my room to get drunk. I didn't often do the throw-up thing, only when I was unhappy and needed to eat a lot. I mean, I wasn't a regular bulimic. I just didn't need all that cheese on my hips, and I rarely drank. When I could stand it, I stripped off my clothes and took a long, hard look at the goods, my body. There's nothing quite like the cold fluorescent lighting of a motel bathroom to bring out every single flaw. My skin looked sallow. I hadn't been to a tanning salon in a while. I had bags under my eyes from crying. There was a hollow between my perfectly shaped melon breast that I didn't like, and just the slightest bit of sagging on my inner thighs. Was that what Sid the jerk had meant? I couldn't see my backside too well, but I definitely looked more flat than I remembered. When had that happened? Flat, she said. Okay. I groaned inwardly. It was time for a major overhaul, plastic surgery again. Also, I dreaded it. It was so expensive. My health insurance didn't cover it, of course. It would keep me off the circuit for weeks while I healed, and it would hurt like hell afterward. Last time, I swore I'd never do it again. I'd retire first. So much for that promise to myself. I did two more shows that week before heading home for a couple of days with Mark. I didn't call to warn him I was coming. He had my schedule posted on the front of the refrigerator. Besides, I was always just a little bit suspicious that he might have somebody on the side. A perverse part of me hoped to catch him, but Mark was too smart to get caught if he was cheating on me, which he wasn't. I was his exotic little meal ticket. He wasn't about to screw up our convenient arrangement. "Hey, baby," he yelled when I came into the family room of our country house after hours on the road. The big television was blaring some action video in full round sound. It was so loud the windows were shaking, yet he'd been asleep in the black leather recliner. He climbed off the recliner, pulled me into his arms, and kissed me. It felt so good. I was so happy to see him. I didn't bitch about the newspapers lying all over the floor. Evidence he'd been looking at the want ads for jobs, at least, or the way the kitchen looked. There were overflowing garbage cans of expensive brand beer bottles, dirty dishes piled high, takeout food containers, boxes, and bags everywhere. The guy ate like a king while I had to starve to keep my willow waist and slim thighs. I didn't mention my decision to have some plastic surgery right then. I just relished the touch of Mark's hands on me. Practically every night of the month, I let men look at every single part of me, drool over me, and fantasize about me. In the beginning, it had been fun for me, of course, but it left me starving for more than food or sex afterward. After 3 weeks on the road, it left me starving for love. Mark pulled off all my clothes and carried me into the bedroom, laid me down on the king-size bed, and kissed away all my loneliness. When he was done, I felt so good, so relaxed that I slept for 10 hours straight. But the next morning, I told him I was thinking of a surgical tune-up, as I like to call it. He sat in the kitchen, same mess, different day, and scowled at me. You got the money for all that? Not yet, but if I can't get back, if I can't get bookings because that moron Sid was hoping to book you for less pay, that's all, Mark yelled. I'll get a job, Julie. Forget the surgery, babe. You look great to me. I don't want to see you go through all that post-op pain. Last time you got your boobs done, you had that bad reaction to the painkiller, remember? I don't like it. Giving up dancing, I get lonely here. I get tempted sometimes. Oh, wait, let me read that again. Give up dancing. I get lonely here. I get tempted sometimes, don't you? All those men with all that money they give you? You know I do get lonely. I mean, I never get tempted. Who's tempting you, Mark? I felt a surge of jealousy. How was I going to hold on to Mark when I was 35 or 40 and surgery couldn't fix me up anymore? Nobody in particular. I just get horny. I get tired of sleeping alone. I'm bored out of my skull here, alone, week after week. It wasn't supposed to be like this. You were only going to dance for a while. How come you have to keep this up anyway? You get off on having all those creeps ogle you? No, I cried. I get sick of it. But how will we pay for everything unless I keep working? Even if you get a job, you can't make what I make in a week. Then I felt awful for saying that. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that the way it sounded. Sure you did. I'll sell some of our stuff. Oh, right. I'll believe that when I see it. Watch me. Mark looked very serious suddenly. I'm still getting the surgery. I need a nest egg for when I retire. Just 3 more years. I'll believe that when I see it too, Julie. We were at a standoff as far as that argument was concerned. I went out on the road again 3 days later. It was one of my better runs, too. I felt really motivated and I put together a new routine. I got lots of tips, stayed all in cheaper motels, and started saving like crazy. Mark actually did sell the snowmobiles and the jet skis. He hadn't used them much anyway. All of a sudden, our monthly budget wasn't quite so tight with these installment payments out of the way. But that jerk Sid and his remark kept echoing in my mind each night when I went on stage. I worried about how I looked. I started noticing some of the other dancers as they came and went around me, and they were hot. Some of them need thin, young, or let's see, reed thin, young, and cute, and giggly because they were new and still a little shy. I wasn't shy at all anymore. I let them see their fill. I looked at myself in the mirror one night and thought, I might still be pretty, but I'm not cute anymore. I didn't have that naughty sparkle in my eyes. I looked a little jaded and sultry. Seasoned was the word some of us used for our professional status. I started stashing even more of my pay and tips, and finally I called the clinic where I'd had my plastic surgery done the last time. I made an appointment and stopped by when I was in the neighborhood to tell Mr. Landon what I had in mind for the new me. He raised his brows. That's a lot to do at one time, Julie. I can't afford to miss any more time recuperating than necessary, doctor. So he named his price. I gulped and made arrangements for a payment plan, since I didn't have enough money saved. You'll look like a goddess when I'm done with you this time, the doctor said, swatting me on the fanny as I went out. Mark and I didn't talk much when I went home. At the end of that circuit, I marked the calendar with a big red X for my surgery date and blocked off the weeks I would be recovering. I spent a day booking for the months afterward and distracted myself from the dread of the coming painful experience by planning new routines. I felt a little nervous as the surgery date approached. Mark sensed it too and got cranky. On the night before the operation, Mark was feeling randy. Dress up in that new outfit I saw you making, he suggested just before we went to bed that night. I shook my head. I don't want to. It doesn't do anything for me to dress up. It's like work. Oh, right, fine, Mark snapped, looking irritable. Every other man in the Midwest gets to see you dressed up, spread-eagled like a helicopter in front of his drooling face, and I get a torn old sweatshirt and baggy jeans. I stared at Mark and almost cried. He didn't have a clue what I was going through. I was just a body to him, same as to everybody else. Well, I put on my new outfit and did part of my routine for him right in front of his face. He loved it. I hated every minute because I had done it so many times before. I didn't even feel like kissing him afterward, but it was the last night before my surgery and I had a strange premonition. I wondered suddenly if I was going to come through it okay. I let Mark make love to me as if it were the last time. I was thinking I was going to leave Mark after I'd recovered from my surgery. I wanted to find a man who would travel with me. Mark had refused because he said it made him feel jealous to see me work. I had complications during my surgery, just as I feared I would. I don't know if Dr. Landon screwed something up and just never admitted it, or if we were just trying to do too much to my body all at one time. I suddenly went into complete cardiac arrest halfway through the suction treatment. It was completely unexpected and should not have happened during such a routine procedure. They had to jumpstart my heart to get it beating again. When I woke up, Dr. Landon was there looking very serious, and Mark was there. His face was pure white. For a little while, I forgot I'd had surgery. I thought I'd been in a car accident or something. People talked to me, but I couldn't make out what they were saying. It was like everybody was talking in a foreign language. Dr. Landon started to look more and more concerned by the minute. She may have had a stroke, too, he said. Mark started yelling. I woke up the next time in a helicopter. I was being airlifted to a major medical center in a nearby city that was going to cost me a fortune. All I could do was laugh about the helicopter part. Nobody could explain why I reacted as I did to the surgery. All the doctors could tell Mark was that I almost died. There didn't seem to be any mistakes made during the surgery, even though Mark went around threatening to sue everybody. Pretty soon, I began to comprehend things again. I could understand what people were saying to me, but I felt very out of it. I was on strong painkillers. I guess I was healing up just fine, though, the doctor said. You had me a little worried there, he admitted. I just laid there in my hospital bed and smiled in a dreamy kind of way. When Mark was alone with me a few nights after my surgery, I thought he looked 10 years older. He held my hand and looked into my eyes like he never had before. How are you feeling, babe? He asked. Doc says I'm going to have great cleavage. I chuckled softly. But even as I said that, I had a little trouble remembering why great cleavage was so important. Dimly, I remembered being an exotic dancer, but it felt like that had been a long time ago. What happened to you? Mark asked. Are you okay now? Sure, I nodded, but I still felt so disconnected. I felt like I was watching it all, the two of us talking from a great distance. I looked at Mark as if I hardly knew him. He looked so worried. I tried to smile, but I just wanted to drift off to sleep. I was beginning to remember something like a dream I'd had while my surgery was being done, and I wanted to concentrate on that. It seemed to be very important. I remembered someone talking to me. I knew it hadn't been Mark or the doctor. Well, I couldn't remember the details of the dreams, no matter how hard I tried. The nurses got me up on my feet and moving around my private room. I remember stopping to look at myself in the mirror in the door in my bathroom. You're an exotic dancer? The nurse asked. I nodded, pulling back my hospital gown to see if my fanny looked any plumper. I couldn't remember why that was important. Why do you do it? The nurse asked. It's great money. We have a lot of debt. Oh, well, I guess if you have to. She helped me walk down the hall and back. That exhausted me. Gratefully, I got back into bed. I could scarcely remember when I had started dancing. All I could remember were those little beauty pageants my mother used to take me to. I was so skinny as a kid, but I had a really cute face. I remember the time I came in second at a particular pageant. It was the only time I ever placed in the top three. I had been about 6 or 7. I was delighted to get second place, but you would have thought my mother was going to die of disappointment. When I was a teenager, I became real plump suddenly. I was frantic, and so was my mom. You would have thought being fat was some kind of cancer, the way she starved me into shape. But it was my dad who disappointed me the most. He liked pretty women, that was for sure. And my mom was that, and then some. To me, he once said, "You've got such a pretty face, Julie. It's too bad you're fat. No man wants a fat girl." I guess that was his idea of motivating me to lose weight. All that for 20 extra pounds, I thought, lying there in the hospital. But after that, I slimmed down like Mom and Dad wanted, and I stayed slim, but Dad never did make another remark, like, "Good job, Julie," or "Looking great, Julie." I graduated high school and went on to get a few waitressing jobs in trendy restaurants where I'd had to wear tight shorts. I'd already met Mark by the time I got the idea to do some exotic dancing. I had to chuckle remembering my first time up on stage. I had to audition, of course, first. I don't know why, but I wasn't afraid to be naked in front of a strange club manager. I knew they'd like whatever I did. What I was truly afraid of was being in front of them, oh, being fat in front of them. Of course, I wasn't the least bit fat. I looked hot, 21 years old, and boobs as firm as you could ever want them to be. I got that job and hundreds more after that. I'd felt fantastic ever since. On the day before I was to be discharged from the medical center, my parents showed up to visit. Mark later confessed to calling them because he'd been so worried about me. My parents had been divorced for years, so it was a surprise to see them together in the same room after so long. "I'm fine, really," I insisted as they both looked at me with worry in their eyes. "Well, Julie, you look just fine." Mom gazed at my surgically perfect face, just as cute as ever. Dad was looking at me in my new robe. It was obvious I had a very shapely body underneath it. And suddenly, I was reminded of all those men in the audiences drooling over me. Dad looked just like them. I thought, "Daddy, don't you know I'm a person under these 34 Ds? He didn't know that, I don't think. And for the first time in my life, I began to question my father's intelligence. I mean, if all of those men who gawked at me in the clubs were Neanderthal jerks, what did that make my poor dad? Of course, I loved him, but suddenly I had to wonder if his opinions were worth killing myself for. A part of me had always longed for him to compliment my slender, shapely figure, and when he finally did that day, I felt so strange. "You look fantastic, honey," he said with sincerity. I heard him say it, and I wanted to feel happy. I did, partly, but I still felt so spacey and detached. It felt like he was saying it to someone else, not me, not the real me. "You still look just like my little girl," Mom said. Suddenly, I twisted away from her. I did not want to be her disappointing little beauty queen anymore. She added, "But you can't go back to life as a dancer, Julie. Just look at what it did to you." Dancing didn't do anything to me. If I felt any desire not to go back to dancing, it flew out of my head in that instant. Suddenly, I was determined to return to the circuit again. The sooner the better. I looked at my parents and felt such a welling of confusion, all I could do was plead weakness and go back to bed. I knew they meant well, but I felt like a non-person to them. I can't really explain it. The only time I felt I existed for them or myself was when I was on stage stripping. I went home with Mark the next day. I still felt a little out of it. The house looked so different. Mark had cleaned up. "What's gotten into you?" I asked. "I made some changes, Julie. From now on, things are going to be different for us." Then he paused a moment before he announced in his nonchalant way that he had gotten a job. I pretended to be deaf. "What? What did you say? Tell me that again." He laughed. He told me he had gotten his old mechanic's job back at the truck dealership. He'd be working a regular shift. "You don't have to dance anymore, Julie. When they call here to see if you're booking, I tell them no." "Oh, great, Mark," I yelled. "I have to go back to work. My stay in the hospital cost a fortune. I've sold the boat and the mower. That's when I noticed the big screen television was gone, too. "Now, wait a minute. The next thing I know, you'll be telling me the house is for sale, too." It will be as soon as I make the call to the realtor. We can't afford this place on my pay, but Mark, what have I been working toward all these years if it wasn't for all this stuff? I cried. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Julie. None of this stuff means a thing without you. I realized that the moment they put you in that helicopter, I thought, without Julie, my life is over. I want you to quit dancing. It's that simple. I waited for the next words I expected to hear out of Mark's mouth, but he didn't say them. He didn't say, "Will you marry me?" He just looked at me long and hard. After a few minutes, he picked me up and carried me into the bedroom. It felt strange to make love again. I felt as if I'd been away for so long. My body still had more spots where Dr. Landon had done his nips and tucks and suction. I laid there thinking, does Mark really love me, or does he just love my large breasts and my newly shaped fanny? Does anybody love me? Just plain old me? Do I love myself? I wasn't even plain old me anymore, so maybe I'd never know for certain. I was thousands of dollars worth of plastic surgery. I didn't even know myself anymore when I looked in the mirror. When Mark and I were finished, I clung to him for a long time. I think he could tell I was still far, far away in my thoughts. I spent the next week confirming bookings for my next circuit of the strip clubs. Mark didn't say much about it. He was busy working, of course, and I was home. I seemed to be on some kind of automatic pilot, calling clubs and negotiating my price and talking a little about my new act. I exercised and ate carefully, and I watched my scars heal and become almost invisible. At night, I slept better than I had in years. It was the longest vacation I'd had in a very long while. I still tried to remember that dream I'd had in the hospital, but I couldn't. I constantly felt like I was forgetting something important. Maybe Mark was on automatic pilot too, or maybe he was just getting the hang of working again. He'd come in tired and dirty after a day of working in the guts of a truck engine, and then he'd take one look at me and burst into a happy grin. "It's so good to come home to you, babe," he'd say. But then, finally, he saw my schedule posted on the refrigerator door. He stormed into the family room where I was working out. "I thought you understood, Julie. I thought you were going to quit dancing." I just shook my head. I don't understand why I was so determined to keep dancing. I needed the money for my doctor bills, I kept thinking, and my retirement. My surgery was an investment I couldn't afford to throw away. I kept telling myself I didn't like to think I'd gone through all that for nothing. I had a perfect body, and I had to use it. "I'm heading out next week," I told him. "But the house, you'll be here to show it to the realtor?" Mark asked. I just shrugged. A part of me didn't want to give up the house. If we sold everything, what, besides my breasts and perfect buns, would I have to show for the last 7 years of my life? Mark stormed out that night and came in drunk hours later. I wouldn't let him touch me. My thoughts about breaking up with him returned. I'll break it to him after I'm gone a few days, after I've done a couple of terrific performances and can be certain. I was thinking that as I drove away, heading for my first booking as the new and improved Julie the following week. It was a big club with a very decent paycheck. I was cruising along the interstate when it hit me what I was doing. I was making sure I could still cut it as an exotic dancer before dumping Mark. What kind of user did that make me? I almost pulled off at the next stop to call Mark and tell him we were through, but I didn't. I kept on driving until I'd reached the club. I parked in back and went inside. Who do you suppose was waiting for me? Sid, the creep from the little club. His eyes went over me approvingly, and for a moment I felt like a million bucks. Lost? I asked, swishing past him and heading for the dressing room. I sounded just like my old self. Hey, Julie, you're looking great. I heard you'd been sick. Sick of you, maybe. Oh, how good it made me feel to burn that guy. But in the back of my mind, I was remembering all the pain I'd gone through recently to have a perfect body that he would approve of. I just about killed myself on account of that creep. And what did he know? He was just another Neanderthal making his living off drunks and dancers who would do anything for a paycheck. Why did I care what he thought of any part of me? He didn't know me, and that's when I remembered the dream I'd had in the hospital. It's hard to explain in words. It was a feeling I woke up with after my surgery, the feeling that I wasn't just my body. I wasn't just curly hair and dimples and boobs and buns. I was Julie, and I was a person. I wanted Mark to know it, and my parents, and every single person in that club that night. You're looking really good, Julie, Sid said. Suddenly, I just didn't care. I realized that I didn't care what any of them thought. What they thought no longer mattered to me. Screw you, I muttered. I went into the dressing room and started to undress for my new act. I could hear the music blaring while another dancer was performing. Then there was cheering, and the dancer came bouncing in, all ripe and firm and made up so heavily nobody would have ever known the color of her eyes. I looked at her, and something in me kind of snapped. I could just see her in a couple of years, booking her plastic surgery so she could go on pleasing the customers in the bar. She was pulling $5 and $10 bills from her thong. She wasn't dancing completely nude yet, but this would come. It was a competitive business. Then she saw me watching her. I just smiled. She wouldn't have understood what I wanted to tell her just then, even if I had tried to put it into words, which I couldn't. I heard my own music start to play. I should have been undressed and ready to go out there and show it all to anyone willing to look. They'd holler and give me money. I felt a little dizzy as I headed onto the stage, fully dressed, and looked around. There was a moment of silence, and then the catcalls started. They figured my zombie expression was part of my new routine. The music blared on. The bright pink lights blinded me. All I could see was swirling smoke and the dark silhouettes of men who cared nothing about who I was. And who was I if I wasn't the prettiest girl in the Midwest who could helicopter her legs around so fast it made men's eyes glaze over? I almost laughed. It all seemed so ridiculous suddenly. I could have no more taken off my sweatshirt or jeans just then than I could have stepped in front of a speeding semi-truck. I was done dancing. The realization made me go weak in the knees. I didn't care anymore. I didn't need the drooling men to make me feel beautiful anymore. And then somebody came pushing through the crowd and climbed up on the stage. The bouncer was close on his heels, but the moment I looked up into Mark's face, I put out my hand to signal that I was in no danger. Time stood still. "What are you doing here?" I asked Mark, staring up into his face. It was bright pink from the spotlight. "What are you doing?" He pointed out my fully clothed body as we stood there on the stage together. I don't remember now if it was quiet or noisy at that moment. All I knew was that Mark was there, and he hadn't been to one of my performances since the first time. Honest to God, he got down on one knee and produced a jeweler's box with a big diamond engagement ring in it. "Will you marry me, Julie, and stop dancing?" I looked at Mark as if I couldn't understand English, and yet I understood so well suddenly what it felt like to have self-esteem for the first time in my life. I didn't need to be naked to feel okay, and I didn't need surgically enhanced breasts either. Suddenly, I laughed and nodded, and then I heard some cheers. I took the ring and put it on my fourth finger. Mark stood up and swept me into his arms. "Yes, I will marry you, Mark, and quit dancing. In case you hadn't noticed, I already have. Bye, guys," I called. And with that, Mark carried me backstage. I grabbed all my stuff quickly and let Mark carry me all the way outside to his pickup truck. "What about my car?" I asked, still laughing. "Sell it. We're going to live on my income from now on." "Do you mean it, Julie? You'll marry me?" "Yes. Do you really want to? I thought when you didn't ask last week..." Mark was frowning as he placed me in the passenger side of the truck. "You didn't quit on my account then, did you?" "No, I just realized I couldn't do it anymore. I can't explain it, quite explain it. Did I tell you about the dream I had when I was in the hospital?" Shaking his head, he hurried around to the driver's side and got in. "I dreamed about a sky filled with dark, turbulent-looking clouds, like a tornado was coming. But in the middle was a really bright light, like the sun was coming through, and a feeling of love, so warm and certain, I thought heaven must be on the other side." Mark grabbed my hand and held it tight. "You don't ever have to dance again, Julie, not even for me. I want you whatever way I can have you until you're old and wrinkly and gray." Mark looked like he was going to cry. "God, Julie, I love you so much." I grabbed his arm and kissed his cheek hard, and then we drove away. I sold my hot car. We sold our big old country house and got a little place with a puppy. I went off the pill. According to my new doctor, I'm going to have a little girl in a few months. My willowy waist has stretch marks now, but I love every one of them. I'm never going to make my daughter feel like her only value derives from the way she looks. Self-esteem comes from the inside, not the outside. And until you have it, you'll never know how good you can feel. Okay, well, that was kind of a strange romance story, but I hope you enjoyed it. If you tuned in late, this is the Romance Program with Volunteer Jeannie Ose for Sun Sounds. I have a couple minutes left, so I'm going to finish the show with a poem. This is from True Romance Magazine. It's called Crush. It was written by Janelle Mihalovitz from South Haven, Missouri. Here is the poem. A random touch is the most disquieting, the brushing of hands, a bump of the knee. In the aisle sends your heartbeat rioting, surprised to find he holds the key to a feeling you'd forgotten existed, that eighth grade fantasy of Mr. and Mrs. in doodled notebook cursive, twisted into Valentine hearts and starbright wishes, giggling ponytails at the pizza place. Ask her to ask him if she knows if he knows. Squeals and blushes at the sight of his face as the teenaged god emerges from the video game Rose. But today, the sink's backed up and the phone bill's due. Smile and sigh, the grown-up world summons you. Okay, well, my show's going to be a little short, but that's going to do it for this edition of the Romance Program. As always, thank you so much for listening. This has been Volunteer Jeannie Ost for Sun Sounds. Have a wonderful week and take care, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.